to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
University of Oregon women's basketball team heading to their first ever Big Ten tournament. They're the eighth seed. They will take on number 9 seed Indiana tomorrow, 9 a.m. Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Joining us from the site of the Big Ten tournament, Kelly Graves, University of Oregon coach. Tell us about Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
Well, first of all, I'm a little offended that you do that advanced hair commercial right before me.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I was hoping you and Dan Lanning both noticed that.
Yeah, but you know, somebody's got to pay your high salary, so I can see you got to take those advertisers where you get them, right, big guy?
Right, but you and I both have beautiful bald heads, though. I mean, there's no shame in that.
Heck yeah! You know how much time we've saved in our lives, not worrying about the hair after when we get up. Or go out or anything like that. You know, that it's been days. We've saved days.
I know. And
in
money.
Our lives.
And money.
A lot of money.
What does a haircut cost now? Yeah. $3? $4? I don't know. That's what it was
I pay $25 a week because I go there. I love the massage, then the shampoo, the conditioner. It's the whole experience for me, big guy. It's very well worth it.
You walk out of there, and the guy walking in goes, "What in the heck is happening in there?" Like, that's the thing.
Okay.
Go ahead. Indianapolis, Gainbridge. You haven't been to the arena yet.
No. The Pacers and the Rockets played last night, and actually, Mike Moser, former Duck, and my assistant for a year, is an assistant with the Rockets, and he got the team some passes, and they went to the game last night, and they stayed around and hung out with Dylan Brooks and got some pictures. It was pretty cool. So it's been used, and then they've got games going today, so we've had to practice off-site since we got here. So we're the first game tomorrow, and we're not allowed to touch basketballs until an hour before the game. So, we'll get there first thing in the morning and shoot a little bit, get ready to play.
Is that a rule? So, like, to make things equal, they just say, hey, if the game tips at 9, you can't get in there and you can't be on the floor until 8?
Exactly, yeah. Wow. It's an NCAA rule, and, you can get out there and stretch, but you just can't touch a basketball, and then they start the 60-minute countdown, and then you're in. It's kind of silly, especially when you haven't had a chance to get onto the floor, and if you're the first game, it's not like there's anybody on there before, but pretty standard operating procedure.
Give us an idea. You saw Indiana in the regular season. You need to see them. You need to watch film today, or how do you spend your day today?
We've watched a lot of film. I got a great staff, John. They really dive into it, and they do an awesome job preparing us. We played them a month ago. It was a close game. We won it at the end. I think we finished on a 10-2 run and won by 6 or 7. But they're a good team. They're better now. I think we are too, but they're better now than they were at that time. They were struggling to score, and now they're one of the best shooting teams in the conference. So, we've got our work cut out for us. But, I think at this point, it's not as much about game planning for each opponent. It's about your core principles, your core values, the things that you believe in, because you don't have a lot of time to prepare. First game's a little bit different, but if we win, then we play the next day, and you just can't put a huge game plan together. So all those little things that we harp on as coaches, all the details, all the fundamentals, I think get exposed once you get into postseason play.
5 games decided by 2 points or less this season. That's tied for most in the country. And you're the only team to be 5-0 in those games. What is it about your team in close games? Is there something there, or do you kind of look at that and go, knock on wood, those games could go either way? Or is there something there about you guys knowing how to close a game?
Well, probably all of the above. The answer is C, right? We've got some experienced guards. I think you've got to have good guards. I remember one time Dick Bennett, the great Dick Bennett, he and his Cougars were staying in the same hotel as my Zags down in L.A. And we had had a number of close games, and a lot of them didn't go in our favor. And I remember what he said. He said, you know, Kelly, a lot of people say, oh, coaches win the close games. He goes, I don't believe that. It's players. You can drop the best play, but if they don't go out and execute it or make that shot, you know, then you lose. So it's the players. And so we've got, you know, great guards, and they're experienced. And, you know, once you win a couple of those close games, then they start to believe. And I think that's what we have in this group.
Kelly Graves with us from Indianapolis, where the Oregon Ducks women's team will play tomorrow, part of their first appearance in the Big Ten tournament. Your kids have played in tournaments before. I mean, is there a novelty to this being the first Big Ten thing for you guys, or is it just it's a game and a game within a tournament?
Oh, I think the latter. I think it's a game, and it's a game within a tournament. You know, we've rotated different sites over the years, and I don't think it really matters. Now, it is our first one here. You know, we've never had to travel this far for a tournament. You know, we're in the heart of Big Ten country now, right here in Indianapolis. We're playing Indiana, so the home crowd, you know, will probably be in their favor. I don't know if the Ducks will travel like we used to travel in Vegas. You saw the Duck contingent down there for years. You know, but ultimately, you know, we're familiar with the team, and I don't think there's much to it. This is my 28th conference tournament since I've become a head coach, and so I've seen it all. I've been a high seed, a low seed. I've won 10 tournament championships. I've lost 5 championship games. So, you know, I've had experience. Tried to let the team know that, hey, I've been here. I can help you through this. But ultimately, it's about those players on the court, man. We got to go make more shots than they do tomorrow.
I am thinking about those years that you have been in tournaments. What memories do you have about being in a tournament? Because there is a certain electricity where all of a sudden the regular season schedule turns into this festival, and it's win or go home, and there's fun in that, isn't there?
There is. I think it's great. I think the great players really show out. I always, you know, when I was at Gonzaga all those years, I had Courtney Vandersloot. You always want to go into any tournament game knowing I've got the best player. You know, for years we had that with Sabrina. I had that with Courtney Vandersloot, because when it comes tournament time, those players really shine. They really stand out. Now, that being said, there's also the other side of that. It seems like in everyone, I talked to the team about this today, I can look at all of those championship runs that we've had over the years, and there's always been that one player that stepped up and did more than they typically do that helped us win a tournament, a game, you know, whatever the case may be. And so I also love that about postseason. That's when you get some heroes, some unassuming heroes. But it takes everybody. That's the key. I think, you know, everybody's at their best. That one-and-done attitude and that mentality, you know, you got to play desperate. At the same time, you got to play loose, John. Tell me how you do the both of those.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Time. No, that's
focus,
what you got to do.
Focus,
you know,
but relax.
What you got to do.
Focus, but relax.
Exactly.
Damn
Battle
it.
Down, guys. but it's fun. I love it. And I'm really looking forward to this tournament. You know, I'm kind of, well, I guess the first game, all those years in the WCC, they let the champion pick the time they wanted to play in the first round.
Mm.
It wasn't set. They let me choose. And we won 10 straight championships. Yeah. I always took the first game on the first day because I figured, okay, we're going to win this game. And then I can sit back and watch everybody else sweat. We get a little extra practice. So there's some benefits to playing the first game as well as some, you know, some drawbacks.
I watched a little bit of that game you played against Indiana. It was at Matthew Knight Arena earlier this season, and I correct me if I'm wrong, Peyton Scott sort of had the hot hand that day, hit some threes. If I'm Indiana and I'm
off
going back
the backboard.
Yeah, I don't remember that part, but I remember they were mates.
Yeah.
But if I'm Indiana, Like, my scout starts with, we need a hand in her face. I mean, but is that going too far? I mean, can you make too much of one game, one matchup, one player who hit a bunch of shots? I mean, don't you have to kind of look at a bigger sample size? Or how do you approach that when you're scouting?
Oh, you have to look at the whole thing. You can't just look at the one game you played. I like to look at that game mainly to see how they tried to defend us. So before they played us, they would have watched 6, 7, 8 games. All right, this is how we want to attack the Ducks. And so you kind of get a feel for what they wanted to do. But just to tell you how things change, you know, we beat them. They struggled to shoot the ball. I think they only had 47 points, team that really scores a lot. Well, two nights later up at Washington, their leading scorer, who only, I think, had 5 against us, goes for 35, you know. And so, you know, which is the true player? She's somewhere in the middle. So you got to kind of look at the whole thing. That's why I really give my staff credit. You know, they get into the weeds. I look at the big picture. I look at tempo. I look at some of that stuff. But they're really looking in the weeds for this set or that set. And it's not easy being an assistant coach sometimes. They work pretty hard.
Look, you got this big matchup. You got some fun. You're going to bear down. You're going to relax. You're going to do all those things. Will you guys, as a team, will you do anything to kind of keep the team loose? Will you go out for a meal, or do you kind of keep it locked down within the compound or within the confines of the tournament?
Yeah, we do a little bit of everything. On this one, you know, like I said, we went to the Rockets game last night, Rockets-Pacers. We typically do one thing on the road that's fun and as a team, but we're always eating together, and you know, we always have study hall. They are student-athletes, John, so we have study hall on the road. you know, there's a fine line. You know, if you spend too much time in a hotel, you get hotel legs, and that hurts you. So you do want to keep moving. That's been one of the negatives here in this new conference. When it's 0 degrees outside in Minneapolis, State College, and Lincoln, you can't go outside. So you spend a lot of time in the hotel, and sometimes you end up playing like that. But it's pretty cool being here in Indianapolis. We're staying in the same hotel that I stayed at in 2021 when I watched my son play in the Final Four.
That's right.
They made it to the final that year, lost to Baylor in the final, but brings back good memories. Although this is where I got COVID.
That's right.
You know,
you were in the bubble.
Nobody was wearing masks. Yeah. No one was wearing masks in Indiana except for the players. They were all sequestered. I was laughing with the team. We're right across from the baseball field. The team was, the Zags were staying in the Marriott, and they were allowed 30 minutes in the baseball field behind the fence, and us as our families could go over and talk to them. It was like they were in a zoo. They were animals. We had to look and talk to them through a fence. You know, that's the only time we could see them during that whole trip. But
that's right.
I've had good memories here.
Let me ask you this. You know, you've done this for a while. How different is your approach? Did you ever at any point, or where did you learn your approach? Did you pick it up from being part of other coaches' staffs or watching other teams that had success, or do you just sort of borrow from what works for you?
Oh, I think you always have to be true to who you are and how you've done things. I've had some pretty good success in postseason play, not only in conference tournaments, but in the NCAA tournament. So I rely on that, but I'm smart enough now to realize, and don't tell my boss because I like my salary, but it's about the players this time of year. You just, you know, as coaches, I think you just kind of stay out of their way and let them perform. You know, this will be our 30th game together, and, you know, they know what they're supposed to do. And now I just hopefully can give them confidence to go out there and perform when their best is needed. That's kind of what I've learned, that it's really, by and large, out of my hands, you know, at this point.
Let me ask you a question.
Thank goodness we got good players.
You got good players, and it's in their hands. That's not a bad position to be. All right, before I let you go, more impressive feat. I'm going to give you two basketball feats. You tell me what's more impressive. LeBron James scoring 50,000 points or Steph Curry making 4,000 threes?
LeBron James. Come on, you know where I was going to fall on that, even though I love Steph Curry, too. Hey, no, serious, brother. Come on, man. And I know you're an MJ guy, but even you've got to sit back and go, you know, part of greatness isn't just, you know, while you were there and doing what you did. And I know Jordan was incredible. But just physically to do what LeBron's done for 22 years and still playing at a high level that he does. Come on, man.
What is
4,000? Now you're talking to a shooter here, too. Now,
I know.
You know what I'm talking about?
50,000 points.
4,000 threes.
4,000 threes. But
not
here's the other
defense. But
okay, but you know, LeBron, he's aging, right? Can we say that? Like, he's aging like everybody else. He's 40 years old, and you know, maybe has a season or two left. I don't know how long he wants to play. But his coach
named the player of the month.
His coach is coming out. I'm glossing right over that. His coach is coming out and saying he's playing the best basketball. His basketball is elite. I feel like he's trying to pump LeBron up because they got Luka, and maybe he wants to reassure LeBron, hey, it's still your time and your team.
Well, I've seen most of their games they've played since Luka got there. He does look like he's energized a little bit, like he's having some fun. He's such a cerebral player, plays with such high IQ. He can play with anybody. I think that's part of his greatness, his secret sauce. He will adjust and do whatever he needs to do to fit in. I don't think he's playing his best basketball that he's ever played, but he's playing pretty darn good, buddy, and so is the team.
Do coaches do that? Do you play psychological games? Do you do a little behavioral science with your team? And when you see somebody who needs a lift, you come over and be like, "Hey, man, you're really shooting. You're shooting the ball well." Or you do that stuff as a coach?
I think you have to. Yeah, I think you have to, and you try to be as positive and build them up as much as possible. But then every once in a while, you get that player that thrives. Sabrina was that way. You'd question her effort or question, you know, whatever. Are you going to make a shot tonight, Sabrina? My goodness sakes. There are people out there that have never seen you play, and they're here tonight going, what's all the hype about? Now, she'll take that, and then she'll make a three, and she'll look right. She used to do that. She'd look right at me and point a finger at me. So, sure, psychology is a big part of sports, I think. You've been around it all your life. I think you understand that, too.
I love that part of it. I love that part of the game and the contest and the season.
And as a coach, you've got to get to know your players because you've got to know who can handle that and who can't. You know, you say some negative stuff to one player trying to, you know, reverse psychology them, and they believe you, you know. And then, you lose them for a week or two until you figure out, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. That affected them. You know, that's the fun part. Some can take it, some can't.
Give them hell tomorrow. Go win that game, and appreciate you coming on with us. I know you're knee-deep in the preparation, so thank you.
Oh, hey, no worries. For you, John, anytime, buddy.
All right, you take care. Good luck tomorrow in Indianapolis. Bye. All right, there he goes, Kelly Graves. He says 50,000 points by LeBron, a bigger deal than Steph Curry's 4,000 threes. Steven, do you agree with Kelly Graves?
Yes, I do. Just because he's
4,000 threes.
Yeah, 50,000 points, though. He's done it in so many different eras, and for such a long time, he's been consistently good, not hurt as much. I just, the overall scoring is more impressive to me than just shooting the basketball, but Steph's awesome.
I think they're both great, but I'm not a LeBron guy. I'm not a hater necessarily. But I think anytime if you grow up watching Michael Jordan, you can't unsee that. And so I don't know what happened to Kelly Graves. He didn't see enough Jordan, I think. They're in Indianapolis playing Indiana. They'll be up against a home crowd. I think it is beneficial that they're in the early game. They're in that 9 a.m. game. It'll be noon Pacific time. But on the Big Ten Network, if you want to check that out. Tomorrow in the show, Ashley Adamson probably joining us from the site of the women's tournament. We'll talk about the women's tournament, talk about the men's tournament. Dana Altman and the Ducks getting it done again. Six in a row, Steven. They're looking good. Lightning in a bottle. You've seen this movie before. Oregon preparing for the men's conference tournament as well. We'll talk a lot of that on today's show. Leave it here, though. Our big splash is coming up.